Hello, this is Amy Hayes. We are here today on this podcast episode with an interview with Be Your Own Hero book author, Tania McMillan. Now, I met Tania. She kindly sent me her awesome book. It's all about women empowerment and going from sticky spaces into thriving, basically, and how to do that. Living from a place of gratitude while embracing your inner goodness and getting to show up every day as your awesome authentic self, which I'm all about, and I really enjoyed the book, and I think a lot of you guys would resonate with some of Tania's story, and it very much represents some of this journey we talk about here as a lot of the things I coach my clients on. So I thought this would be such a great podcast to bring you today. I hope you enjoy it, and I would love to hear from you. Screenshot this and share it in your stories and let us know your biggest takeaways. Enjoy. So thank you so much, Tania, for being here. Can you please introduce yourself in a better way than maybe I could and share with us who you are? And we could start also like what inspired you. So who you are and what inspired you to become a speaker, an author, and kind of why you wrote the book.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It is, I actually got goosebumps and little tears in my eyes listening to that. It's really awesome to be able to help people on a level that I don't think's out there as well as what it possibly could be. So I am Tania, obviously, and I'm 42 years old, and I am a mother of three teenage boys. And I decided to start writing after my 18-year marriage ended, and I decided that I've been through a lot of shit, and there was a lot of shit to unpack. And I thought the easiest way to do that is to start writing, and that's what I did. So Be Your Own Hero is actually my third book, and it's probably my favorite one so far because it really touches on all those topics about how to come back to yourself and look after yourself Yes. and become your own hero. Because we don't get taught this stuff in school, right?
Not at all. And it's honestly the biggest thing I coach women on. You know, people come to me for weight loss or to feel good or, of course, to grow their businesses as well. But I think it all comes back to you and the inner world and how you can make these changes. But like you say, no, we're not taught this stuff. And it actually blows my freaking mind how many times a woman comes to me and really doesn't even know, like they're very much still people pleasing and not putting themselves first and knowing how to set boundaries and just living in that different mindset just because they don't know what feeling good or empowered feels like. And that's why I really love the book. So it's your third book. What are your other two books?
So my first one was called The Walk to Freedom, and that was my first book, and basically I talked about a lot of stuff that I'd suppressed for years, and I decided that the only way I was going to start healing was by getting it out. And by doing that, I found out that there were so many other unhealed people out there that resonated with that book, that then I wrote The Flight of Freedom, which, so The Walk to Freedom was basically all the shit I'd been through in my life, you know, anxiety, depression, bullying, self-harm, all that kind of stuff. I decided to start writing about all the shit because I thought surely I'm not the only person out there that suffered in silence. Mm-hmm. And my biggest thing of why I wrote any of my books is to help people understand and realize that they don't need to suffer in silence, because more often than not, the person sitting next to you has been through some sort of trauma or healing from some sort of trauma. And if we can start talking about these hard topics, then we're not going to feel so alone when we go through them.
Yeah, I agree. And that was actually going to be my next question, was going to be what key themes and messages do you convey? And that's perfect. And I think that's true. Like the magic happens in sharing and conversation. And Definitely. When I share about my past or when other women share in my memberships, it actually helps the next person share and inspires them to share and feel a little bit normal. But that permission that, you know, when we are sharing, you're like, oh my gosh, they're going through that too. I thought it was just me. And you feel a little bit abnormal or lost, or like you can't be those pieces of you, but we're all going through something or have been through something. It's just that it isn't voiced.
And I think that society has taught us, not so much now, but I know when I was a young mum, or, you know, early married, you just thought that life was you got married and had kids and you just did it and you didn't complain and you didn't want to ask for help because you felt like you were failing, and nobody wants to feel like a failure. And that is how you live until you actually start to realize that you don't have to live like this. You can speak up. I mean, I suffered so much. I had my third son was born with a heart condition and nearly died when he was born, and then had open heart surgery. And I just pretended to the world that through that whole process, I was fine, but I wasn't. I was absolutely dying inside.
No, and it's also coming back to those, that's probably fight or flight. You were just surviving in survival mode. And it's not till afterwards when you're looking back, you're like, I wasn't even there, you know.
No. Then
general regulation, fight or flight. And again, this comes back to, we all do have traumas and we learn lessons in them, and they're not bad. Like, traumas aren't bad. That fight or flight is keeping us safe in that moment, yes, which is a really good thing. But it's learning to be able to navigate where your behaviours today can sometimes stem from those times, and actually go back and have some compassion and kindness and learn regulation and learn prioritising yourself as well. And I think it's really important. Like, definitely the biggest thing I always say is there's so much power in conversation, like in just hearing and talking. Most of the magic happens there. So what do you think, like, women can best empower themselves and support each other in the world now, in this day and age? And I always do come back to, like, we're quite wild women now, like compared to back in the day where women did stay home, clean the house, keep quiet, you know. And now we are quite wild. We're very independent, very outspoken. And I'm thinking, how can we even evolve from here? Like, look out, world.
Yeah. So
what would you say for the best way you think women can empower themselves to support each other in today's day and age?
I think for me personally, I started to look at myself and stopped comparing myself to everybody on the internet, everybody on TV, and everybody on magazines. Yeah. And I started to unfollow a lot of people that I just didn't resonate with.
Yeah.
And that gave me power because I was taking back control of how I was feeling about myself. And then I started to learn to love myself, and it was a process, believe me, it's still a process to this day. But when you become more confident in who you are and the skin you're in, then that radiates into other parts of your life, which then you can start to open up those conversations with other people, like, how are you really feeling? How are you actually coping with whatever you're going through? How can I support you? Because you're in a better position to ask those questions.
Yeah, and that was like something else is the how. Like, people don't know the how. They like might know they're in a particular hard, challenging position, but they're not quite sure how to overcome it. So you've done like environmental detox, you know, with social media, with following people. Yep. That was one of your hows. Is there any other, you know, things in particular that you did implement to be that how you went from challenging to kind of overcoming it and being on the other side?
So I also started to spend a lot of time on my own, kind of dating myself.
Yeah.
Learning. I was in a relationship for 18 years. I was a, you know, mum for 18 years. That's all I was just a mum. And I hate saying just a mum. So I started actually, I know it's horrible, isn't it? So I started to date myself, learn about who is Tania?
Yeah.
What do I like doing? Filling my own cup up. You know, what does that look like for me? Because that looks like something different for everybody. So for me, it's going for a walk along the beach, going to yoga, you know, listening to some music and dancing around the house. You know, it was those little things, that it doesn't have to be big things, but those little things that made me feel like me. And that was the biggest thing I did, was fill my own cup up first. So then I've got more to give others. rather than you know, running on empty and feeling like, because I was a people pleaser, I wanted to make sure everyone else was okay.
And but, so many people are, and it's normal, and it's a very mum thing to do too, you know, like. And I always say that, like, I love being a mum, but you have to be you to be a good mum, and that is a learning curve as well. So one thing from those things that you've done, I agree, so filling your cup up looks different for everyone, and I think people do think it needs to be really big things,
and no, it doesn't.
Little tiny everyday things, you know, And we all get hit with shit sticks sometimes in life, right? It's never going to be smooth sailing. We've got external stuff. So how do you stay focused on filling your cup up and taking care of you when there are setbacks in life, you know? Like, how, what do you do or come home to if you start to feel a little bit wobbly?
And I do feel wobbly because my journey has definitely been a roller coaster. And if you read my book, you'll see that it's been a really big roller coaster. And I have done things like, I had some really bad news once. I got an old printer and a cricket bat and I smashed the shit out of it.
Yeah.
It was releasing that anger. So I've also learned to feel the feelings that I'm feeling at that moment and not push them away. So smashing the printer with a cricket bat, man, I felt good after that. And it released that anger that was built up rather than going, oh, it's okay, we'll just pretend it didn't happen. So whether it's crying or getting angry, like this, obviously you don't want to go and scream and yell at everybody, but it was a healthy way to release that anger. So making sure, coming back to things when things are going rocky or I'm feeling like, oh, this isn't, I'm not feeling so good, I sort of take away the things that are making me anxious. So for example, if I'm feeling a wee bit not so happy within myself or I'm going through a bit of a downtime, if I get invited out and I know that that anxious feeling in my stomach's coming up, I might go, at the moment, this isn't going to help me feel any better. So then I just choose not to go, even though I'd love to go. Yeah. So it's prioritizing myself and my health is number one when things get wobbly. Going back to the real basics of good food, listening to good things.
Basic
stuff, which is often what we forget to do when we sort of start running our life. We forget about those everyday little things, which are the foundation of, you know, our stepping stones to who make, you know, what makes us who we are.
Exactly. And I call them your like non-negotiables. There's a couple of things I want to come back to hear what you said, but I call those like the non-negotiables. Like if you think of yourself as a tree and the wind blows, right, and it blows the tree, but if you've got the solid foundations, the roots in the ground, your tree will only wobble a little bit in the wind. It won't blow all the way over, and you just deal with stress better. And those non-negotiables is holistic health, which is why I teach that. And that is your routines and rituals, your nourishment with food, your daily movement, your environmental detox, you know, all of that stuff. So I think that's really important, and that they are baseline actions. They're boring and they're not big. They're the small things you do on a daily basis that don't waver. And that's what, you can't avoid the wind blowing, you know, but you can have really strong roots in the ground. And it is the number one thing when you're not feeling good that you want to give up, but you have to, in those moments, think, okay, well, how can I feel my best right now? And it is making those decisions. So two things I wanted to come back to is, one, where you said feeling your feelings of anger and stuff, and because so many people think that we're not meant to feel negative emotions, you know, and we've got to be positive all the time, but we have to normalize anger, sadness, frustration, and that it's fucking okay to feel those things. Like, with feelings, we don't, there's going to be an ebb and a flow and an up and a down, going to be a happy day, a bad day, you know. We don't want to avoid them and push them away. You have to let them come out however you can. You just don't want them to linger.
Because it will come out. They will come out. No matter, you know, I had so many suppressed feelings that when they came out, it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was a shit storm because I thought you had to pretend you were okay every single day.
Yeah.
And so I put Band-Aid over Band-Aid over Band-Aid. And when I started ripping off those Band-Aids, Jesus, it was not a pretty sight. If you feel through what you're going through, the end result, you're not going to have that massive meltdown because you're feeling your way through it as you go. And it's okay to do that.
Yeah, or being so dysregulated because you're pushing it down, it comes out in things in your body, in pain and illness and sickness, you know. So they will have to eventually come out, and it's best that you work through it. Have your cry, have your tantrum, feel that feeling. And one of the big things with feelings is naming the feeling. I feel fucking angry or I feel so sad about that, and establishing why. And then being able to move through it. And, of course, sharing it, like journaling it, sharing it with someone, like that also helps as well. So I think that was a really important point to come back to, because we are allowed to feel those feelings. They're all part of us. And that's okay. And I completely forgot the second point I wanted to come back to. So that's okay too. Okay, so that's how we say keep going. We anchor in those foundations, and it's not saying they're going to look perfect all the time. They will come and go, but it's coming back home to your healthy foundations and your daily non-negotiables that help you feel good. So what type of person, maybe if you were to say, I've got Be Your Own Hero book, I want to help women with XYZ, what kind of person would really benefit from your book or coming to an event or, you know, being in your world?
I honestly think anybody.
Yeah.
I believe that it could help anybody, because in the book there's areas for you to do your own journaling or to write your own little bits and pieces, because I believe there will be stuff in there that could trigger some old emotions, and often we don't realize what we're holding on to until maybe we hear somebody speak or we read something, and then we have a little flashback of, oh shit, I forgot about that happened in my life.
Yeah.
And I think as women, the more knowledge we have, the more we become more powerful, or more, we can stand up stronger and go, well, this is who I am because I've dealt with all this stuff.
Welcome to my world. Yeah, when you know better, you can do better. But also with something for you, it's not about going back and reliving that experience necessarily. I mean, you'd go to a professional.
No.
You know, there's lots of different ways to work through that stuff, but it's acknowledging that this happened. This is where this feeling or action has come from. And acknowledging that so that you can then stop. I call this the soda method, right? Stop, observe, decide, and then act. Instead of just acting reacting to something, you might have a trigger, but you stop and get curious about that and observe where it might be from. What experience, what person, where you've learned it, where it's come up from, and then decide, okay, how am I going to use this? Am I going to act like this or that? And you can observe the different scenarios, the different ways you can work through that. You can ignore it. You can, yell at someone. You could do this. You can avoid it, whatever. And then you can decide how you could best act after that. So the soda method, you can use that in any piece of your day. Yeah, so what I thought we would do now is there's a couple of other questions I have got for you, but I have got your hot book in my hand. I actually gave this to some of my clients as well as prizes in my Thrive.
Awesome.
Yeah, I did. It was really cool and they love it. And I actually loved the pieces where you could journal, but I've got a few million bookmarks here, but we were just going to touch on a couple of these bookmarks that I thought would be really cool to talk about. So one of them was one of your journal entries from the 25th of July, 2021. So over the years, I've become a very good actress and I hid away from the world. And what I wanted to talk about here, do you remember that journal entry?
Yeah, I do.
So I won't go to the whole, go through the whole thing. But one thing that came up, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit, is hiding away from the world and being that actress. We did talk about this a bit in the start, but so we can just touch on it about people that do hide away and they are just acting and they are not, they either lonely or they haven't known what it's like to be alone and actually get to know themselves a bit better.
So basically through my whole life, basically I hid away from everybody of who I really was.
Yeah.
Or I didn't actually know who I was. A lot of the shit that I've been through, I was a good actress. I pretended I was okay. And I didn't want to feel like a failure. I didn't want people to talk about me. I thought everyone was judging me. I thought everyone was talking about me. So if I pretended that I was okay, then I gave nothing away to anybody, because on the outside I was like, this has happened, I'm going through this, but look at me, I'm fine. But on the inside I was so depressed, and when nobody was around, I couldn't actually cope with what was going on in my life.
Yeah. And so did you recognize or get any help or anything like that? Did you recognize this was happening at the time, or is this just a looking back at?
So at the time, so it sort of had happened over many, many, many years. I'd suffered from depression from a teenager, and then after my third son was born and he nearly died, I actually tried to end my life. And there was only one person at the time who knew about it, which is my now ex-husband. And I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody about it because the fear of judgment.
Yeah.
And I pretended to everybody that I was okay. And it wasn't till about a month down the track, I went, I actually need some help.
Yes.
I actually need some help, because through the whole process of finding out he was a heart baby at 20 weeks to giving birth, I wasn't offered any help.
Yeah, interesting, hey.
And
thinking back in time, sometimes I think the world's come a long way since then, you know,
even
when my kids were little as well, and where the world's evolving very quickly, so a lot of people did just tolerate or put up with or not know any better at the time. And also asking for help has been a big block for people because they don't want the judgment or they don't want to share what they're truly going through.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was always scared of the judgment.
Yes.
But now, like this was what, 14, 15 years ago now, I'm like, people can think what they like. And I love the saying, what other people think of me is none of my business.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not.
No, it's not. And you can't change what someone else thinks, and that's their thing. And you have to make your opinion of you matter way more than anyone else's. Yep. And that's what I teach my clients. Make your opinion of you matter the most, because that's all that truly matters, because you can't control what someone else thinks.
No, you can't.
So what's the point of giving that energy to worrying so much about it? And it's only natural to think about some things a little bit, but the same thing, don't ruminate in it, don't sit in it, don't let it absorb you, make sure, and it's about that reframing the mindset of, oh, well, you know, that does hurt that they might think that, or that I think they might think that. I'm presuming as well. And then going, actually, I just got to keep going forward with who I am, because my opinion matters the most. So,
and I think too, a lot of people, they see things through their own lens of where they are in their life.
Yes.
And I always think that the way people respond to you is a reflection of them and where they're at. So it doesn't mean that that's a true reflection of you. It's just the way they're seeing the world at that point of time as well. And they don't know you as a person. They may be looking through it, you know, rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
You know, and people can, you know, are very good at passing judgment from sitting on their couch behind a screen rather than actually sitting down with a person and talking to them. So I always take on board like what my, you know, my best friend sitting next to me having a coffee has to say, opposed to someone sending a message who doesn't know me.
Yeah. And did you know that even everyone's perception of us is different? Our child versus our husband versus our sister versus our mother, all of their idea of us is completely different. So we are really the only ones who try and know the true us.
And do we actually at the end of the day? No, probably not.
And it blows your mind when you think about that. Everyone is seeing life through their own perspective.
Yep.
No one is seeing it through the same perspective. And it's very interesting. No. Yeah. So the second thing was, and we touched on this as well, as filling up your own cup. And that some people actually don't know what that even means.
So going back about 6-7 years ago, filling my own cup was actually hitting the gym every day, because I trained to be a powerlifter and I did 5 powerlifting comps.
Yeah.
So that was how I felt like, I was fucking strong and I loved it. So that was filling my cup up, because at that point in my life, I needed to do something for me that was just for me, and it was me against me. Now that I'm unable to do that because I'm living with some back and hip injuries, filling my own cup is doing things for me, like going to yoga, sitting down with a good cup of coffee and a book, walking along the beach, you know, going out with a friend for coffee and we just sit and chat and go for a walk to a waterfall or something. It's those simple things, because filling my own cup, I need to do that so I can be a better version of myself, but then I have more to give other people, because I notice that if I'm trying to please everybody else,
yeah,
then my cup is so empty that I've got nothing to give to anybody else. And this even happened just in February. I was meant to go to Aussie for a week, and the day I was meant to fly out, I was so worn out because I'd been giving to everybody else that I actually had no energy to actually get on the plane, and I cancelled my trip.
Oh, did you?
I did. And that was because I was just so exhausted from making sure everyone else was okay.
And it's also, you've got to be able to recognize when that's starting to happen so you can, you know, stop it. And that's something else. Coaching women, I've found, you know, I always say you have to learn from autistic, like my daughter's autistic, and learning from people like her who is so firm in what she wants and what she does and what she wears and what she says.
Yes.
She's very much like, doesn't give a she's doing what she wants. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm coaching my clients to be like my daughter, you know, because, but it's just stuff that could weigh down again. So I think it's really important, because you can hear and see an analogy, and you know the fill up your cup analogy, but this, it does come back to those tiny little things of, you literally can't be a good mom, a good coach, a good author, a good friend, if you're not fucking looking after you first.
You know, and that's, and I've talked to you about this too, about I actually had a shop.
Yeah.
It was a co-op shop, and I have just recently closed it and shut it down, because that was a huge part of how I was feeling within myself, because I was people pleasing still on a different level, because I was selling everybody else's products.
Yes, yeah.
And for me, I felt very stuck and very unmotivated by being in that space, and it was draining me. And I made the decision. I was like, this has got to stop, because it's actually not filling my cup or making me feel good.
And I think sometimes it's hard to recognize, and I think it's really important. And when we've done things for a while, you just get used to doing it. And you find it hard to make that decision. Like, you actually want the shop, and there's pieces of you that enjoy it, but then there's so much that's not enjoyable anymore.
Yes.
Making that decision's the hardest part, right? And letting
go. Oh, for sure.
But I always think it's really good to sit, and I know journaling can sound woo-woo, but sit with a pen and paper and brain dump how that is. Like, why is the shop not feeling good? Or why is this thing not feeling good? And then what would you like to see happen and change or whatever? And it just helps you make those decisions and move forward in those hard things like that. I think I found that when I moved my gym into a very small space from having industrial buildings, that was really hard on my ego, pulling down my signs and not putting my signs back up and letting go of a lot of clients and all of this. And it was like, well, actually, I don't fucking enjoy doing this anymore. Now looking back, I'm like, I should have done it years ago, kind of thing. Like, because I'm still at the gym and I still can do my bits, but I'm not pleasing everybody else and fitting all of them in and staying open for their, you know, for them. And the loyal ones stayed on, and I get to do what I love in there at a small capacity. But it was the same kind of thing. I was staying open and staying big for them. And
And it's that ego of that feeling like you've failed, like, oh shit, because I'm closing the doors, it means I've failed. It's not, and that's the ego talking. It's like, I always believe in, like, I failed forward because I did something that I wanted to do. I learned from it, but now I'm stepping into what I really want to be doing.
Yeah, and we do. Yeah. We go through different pieces in life where we are different identities. Like the gym version of me is a different identity to what I am now. And that identity will always be a piece of me, and same with your shop. I mean, those things will always be a piece of you, and it's quite hard to let go of that piece being you. But they're always going to be there, and that's how we get, you know, it's how we all evolve. So I think
it's part of it. You know, it's part of our story. Yeah. It's part of our journey. Yeah.
But it's always important to sit and reflect on what's coming up and listening to your intuition and the reality of what you truly want, and think, what do I need here? Not what everyone else is needing. What do I need here? Yeah,
definitely.
So that's a good lesson for people to do too. So another page here is forgiveness and forgiving yourself. And I've got a good, I see this guy I call Albert Einstein. He does
quantum. I love him.
Yeah. But the quote is, I love you. I'm sorry. I forgive you. and I thank you. And this is a mantra, if you want to call it that, or something you can say to your old self often, or to somebody else. I forgive you. I love you. I'm sorry. And I thank you. And this could be pieces, a good little quote for self-forgiveness, because I think sometimes we're so hard on ourselves.
Yes.
You know, like I had an eating disorder for 25 plus years, and, you know, you punish yourself for punishing yourself. Like, literally, yes. That's what it is. And you get angry at, why did I let that happen? Or why was I in that relationship for so long? And
yeah.
You've got to fucking forgive yourself.
Yeah.
So that's something I'd love for you to touch on.
Yeah, so in my previous two books, I've actually, so in Be Your Own Hero, I've written a declaration to myself.
Yeah.
Where the previous two books, I've actually written a letter to my younger self.
Yes.
And I think it's quite good to do when you reflect back on your life and you think, man, if I could give my younger self some advice.
Yes.
Because we do, like for me, you know, I used to self-harm when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I've tried to end my life. I've used drugs and alcohol to try and numb the pain. And looking back, I'm like, man, why the fuck did I do that? But we only do as much as what we can at the time.
It's all coping.
And it's just forgiving yourself for what you didn't know or not knowing any different.
Yeah.
And forgive yourself for those times when, you know, you, and it might be just, I'm not talking about the big things either. Like I've got some, those things are quite large, but even like, you know, the days you yell at the kids and you get angry at them, just say, look, I'm tired, you're tired, we screamed and yelled, I'm sorry. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're a bad mum.
No, exactly.
You know, because we are our own worst critics, and no one else can be harder on ourselves than ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I do think writing a letter to yourself and actually just saying, I'm sorry, and write the things that you're sorry for. And I'm a big believer in, like, burning that piece of paper and letting it go. Like,
I've done a few letters, even to other people that may have hurt you. I've done that too. I've written letters, like, fuck you letters, I call it. and, you know, and then not, you don't have to forget what people have done, but you can forgive and move on. It's all that inner child work where, when we do say or think something fucking stupid, it's all coming back from our child self, you know, and that's the same as other people that hurt us as well. If you think of them all as a 7-year-old child, you've got to give some kind of love and compassion because it's learnt behaviour normally.
Exactly, yeah.
So that letter to self, I think, is an awesome task. And just, you know, remembering we do say, do, and whatever, act stupid, and we're all only human, so
we are human and we fuck up.
No one's damn perfect.
No way.
Something else I've bookmarked here, there's just a couple left, it's actually, I think someone else might have written it, I'm not sure. It was a bit where it says you're allowed to leave a city that has dimmed your light instead of making you shine brighter. So I just liked that part, not necessarily the whole lot. I mean, it was all awesome, but I liked that. And I think it would be really cool to just quickly chat on when we feel like places or things are dimming our light and being able to, you know, shine the light. And a good analogy, I love analogies, is if we think of ourselves, and we're both from small towns, so we quite know literally the town thing, but also people can dim our light and things and experience can dim our light. So I love the analogy where I heard that we're like pot plants in a pot. The plant will only grow as big as the pot, and then it will stuck where it's at until you put it into your pot. And you can think of that as your soul. You don't necessarily have to physically move or geographically
or
move.
Put yourself in a pot.
Get the fuck out of the pot. Get out of the box and let yourself grow bigger. So what's your take on that?
So for me, I always believe in leave people better than you found them.
Yes,
and if you're feeling depleted or drained when you're hanging around people, then they aren't your people, because you should feel lighter and brighter when you leave company of people. Same with places. So if you're going out for coffee at a certain cafe and you leave and you're feeling like, oh, I just feel so drained and my energy feels off. Just don't go back there. Find a new coffee shop.
Yeah.
Same with people. Don't hang around with people that are draining your energy or not lifting you up. And I heard a really good analogy the other day, which completely changed my thinking when it comes to people around me. And it was there's three types of people in your life. And there's ones are the anchors.
Yeah.
They pull you down and they don't let you grow. Yeah. The second one is the boys. They're fun to have around, but you don't really need them. And the third ones is the engines. They either push you on or pull you back when needed.
Yeah.
And I loved that because I sat there and I looked at the people around me and I was like, man, there's so many people that I've been trying to hold on to, but all they're doing is actually dragging me down.
Yeah.
And then I spend more time with those engine people, the ones that will tell me that, you know, they see things in me that I don't quite see in myself sometimes.
So you're blind.
Or they go, yeah. And so that's sort of how I'm going through my life at the moment when it comes to people.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowing people to bring me down because of what either they're going through or their expectation of what I think they should be like as a friend.
I've just worked with a client on this actually, of figuring out your own needs and expectations and then being able to figure out what's a core value, which is going to be my next next topic, and then what do you kind of need from people. But something else that's a very simple way to do this and what I teach a lot is you know intuitively what feels good and what doesn't. And that's that energy exchange when it comes to people, environments, food, movement, everything. You know if what you're doing or where you are, if it feels good or not. And you have to listen to that. If you leave a friend and you don't feel good and the energy exchange is off, it's okay to create space there. You don't have to announce anything. You can just not be available. And then maybe you might try it again another time. And again, you can establish whether it feels good or not. And you'll go, okay, and eventually either it fades away or it might blossom if you've figured out what you actually, you know, want to put in and get out and establishing your needs. Yeah. So does it feel good or does it not feel good? And you can make decisions from that. So the next part, and this will come nicely, you know, moving on from that, is I live in alignment with my values. And this is awesome. So you say you want to lose weight, but your new shoes are still unworn. You say you want to have a healthy body, but you feed at KFC. You say you want to change careers, but you've done nothing to investigate a new job. Fucking exactly. Stop complaining about something you're not doing anything about. So
yes.
Alignment and doing things that feel good or don't feel good can be easier said than done. But I really like that, and it's kind of what I coach on a lot. But I think some people might struggle with figuring out their values. So what, for you here, did you do to help you get in alignment with yours?
This is going back a wee while now, because I sort of changed my whole life about 3.5 years ago. I was newly single, 18 years in a relationship. Then I decided to quit my 18-year office job and leave my business.
Yeah.
And then that's when I started writing. And that was a huge wake-up call for me, because I was like, I don't want to be an office worker. I want to be helping people.
Yeah.
Then I had to look at, well, how can I help people?
Yes, how can I? Yeah.
How can I? So writing was the best way I knew how, because I'd always wanted to write a book, but I just didn't know how to start. But then all of a sudden I had this, you know, massive, well, I don't really want to call it a trauma, because I was happy that my marriage ended, but I did grieve.
Yes.
Because the idea of the happily ever after family home wasn't,
so much,
you know, so it was the grief. So I think when I started to grieve what I thought life was going to be like, that's when I started writing. And that was this is how I want to help people. So, you know, same with eat, you know, how do I want to fuel my body? Well, I'm not going to sit there and eat KFC every day and complain that I'm unhealthy.
Yes, yeah.
And it's really hard, because values is so personal and they're so different for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's people have to start really, like, looking at themselves, and it's calling you out on your own bullshit, which is really hard. And I talk about this in an earlier book, you know, actually calling out ourselves on our own toxic behavior.
Yes. Yeah.
I used to have someone who used to message me and say, oh God, I really want to lose weight. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you stay motivated, but they'll sit down with a rum and coke and KFC every night.
Absolutely. Yeah. It has to things that reflect where you want to be.
Yes. So it's like,
be her. Yeah.
Yes, but exactly.
It is, and I coach women exactly on this stuff. And I know that it can be easier said than done. Like, so there's a lot of stuff that comes into it as well, but I think it's a lot of unlearning that people say they want to do something, but have the rum and coke, but they actually don't know how to unlearn the rum and coke behavior.
Yep.
And it's about going, well, I'm not doing all or nothing. It doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to scream effort. It doesn't have to be a diet. You know,
no, like, of course not.
That people need to actually unlearn how they think it needs to happen and just go back to, which is what you said, and I say this all of the fucking time to my clients, when they feel bad or frustrated that they told me they're going to go to the gym, they said they were going to go for the walk, they're going to lose the weight. 3 weeks, 4 weeks go by and they did it once or twice and then they feel bad for not doing it, or guilt or shame, all of that stuff. I haven't done it. I can't do it. I'm too busy. I don't know how. Instead, I say, well, acknowledge what you don't like is happening here. You don't like your own behavior. You don't like how you're feeling. Mm. But how can I feel better today? How can I move my body? How can I eat a little bit better? And remove all the fucking rules that you think it has to look like. And go, how can I? So today I might just have two lots of vegetables. Today I might just go for a 5-minute walk. How can I fit it in? How can I behave like the person I want to be? And make it small. And those things just add up. And you build trust in yourself when you are holding yourself to those values. It's retrusting your decisions. It's retrusting, you know, the follow through. And then it becomes your new normal.
Because I think too, sometimes when we look at goals, and not just weight loss goals, but any type of goal, is we look at where we are today and we look at where we want to be in 12 months' time. Yes. For example, say I want to lose 30 kilos. So I'm looking at myself today going, shit, 30 kilos is way, way, way down there. So then we just give up before we've even started, because the end result is too far away, rather than looking at what can we do, small steps on a daily basis, or even, you know, a couple of goals a week, you know, celebrate those small wins and break that end goal down to just little steps.
Yeah,
and
it's, 100%.
You know,
So a lot of coaches use the SMART process, where you set a goal, you have a time frame, and I don't believe that. I believe in, like, yes, having the goal, cool, we want to lose 30 kilo, but my intention is to lose 30 kilo. And with intentions, you don't have a time frame. Your intention is to lose 30 kilos. I'm going to focus on the first one and get that first 1 kilo. How can I eat well today? How can I do this? It's not just about weight loss 100%. How can I fill my cup up?
Yep.
How can I listen to my values? How can I look after my energy? How can I sleep well? How can I stop people pleasing? Instead of, I can't stop people pleasing, I am a people pleaser.
Yeah.
How can I not be? You know, and stop labeling yourself as all these things or that you can't, and try and figure out instead and reframe that sentence. How can I? And then your brain is going to start looking for solutions rather than looking for the reasons why you fucking can't. Yeah.
Because you can change your story, and that's,
you can reframe, you know,
rewrite your story, and you can just wake up one day and go, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to stay the same.
My bulimia, like, people are like, how did you beat it? I'm like, I actually one day said I'm going to stop allowing this behavior, and it was hard to stop allowing the behavior, but I kept saying, it's all I said, I'm going to stop allowing this behavior, and then I had to do other things. And
because the environment allows the behavior, and quite often we are the environment. We are allowing the behavior.
Yeah.
And so refocusing, rewording,
reframing. I believe all the change on the external world happens on the inside.
And that's
approach, and it can take a fucking long time, and it's a forever journey.
It is a forever journey. I'm still learning.
Absolutely. So they were most of the bookmarks in the book. There was a few that I'll leave for those wanting to read it. But how, like, there's a couple of other questions here I have for you.
Yes.
Two things is, as we come to the end of this podcast, have you, like, where can people find you? I'm going to leave with a different question with some value for people, of course, but where can people find you and what projects, which I know one of them, or events are you excited to talk about right now and you'd like to share?
So I'm live.loud.nz. Yeah. On Instagram, I think.
And is that the best place? I'll put that in the show notes anyway. Is that the best place for people to find you?
Yes, because I'm Tanya McMillan on Facebook.
Good place to show you. And what have you got happening? You've got reprinting happening on Be Your Own Hero.
Yes, so that should be here next week because I did two print runs and the second one sold out within 2 weeks. And I think that was thanks to you, Amy, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm reprinting that one. Which will be here next week.
Yeah.
I am got a new book coming out, which is called Divorced and Dating.
So I love that name, Divorced and Dating. And I
think things that I kind of learned, there's funny stories about some dates that I went on.
Oh, dates. A little bit of
dates, some Tinder stories. But it's also about, you know, how do you go, you know, you're 40 and you're divorced. How do you start dating?
Yes, yeah.
There's lots of just tips in there that I found worked or didn't work.
Yeah, cool.
Dating yourself before jumping into another relationship.
Awesome.
It's divorced and dating. There's lots of topics.
Oh, and I know I'm joining you in a very cool event in Nelson soon. Do you want to talk a little bit about that or do you want me to give the skeleton of it?
So I can do the wits in Nelson, which is really awesome. So I'm coming up to meet you in person, which is cool. Yes. And it's the 10th of June at the Harvest Kitchen. And I'm really, really excited because it's going to be an awesome event. And we've actually got, there's three people speaking now at this event, which is so exciting. So do you want, you can.
Yeah. So this cool event is for women who want to take charge of their health and wellness and dive into stuff similar to what we've just been talking about. We're going to be speaking on holistic health, mental health, and also how you can put yourself first, how you can have those boundaries and values coming through easier. So we're going, there's going to be specific teaching from each of us, and you'll get a toolbox to be able to work through when life gets tough, you know, mentally, physically, and emotionally. We've also got, so myself, a holistic health coach, and we've got Noreen McDonald, she's a naturopath, so she does holistic therapies and she's a practitioner, but also a health and wellness coach and a public speaker, and she'll be doing a portion as well, which, so it's going to be a really great evening of us speaking and teaching a little, but also some bubbles, grazing platters, gift bags, so a really good fun evening for everyone to come along to. Did I miss out?
Cannot wait. Yeah. No, so tickets are going to be $45 each,
and you can find them on your page.
Yes, and with that you do get a glass of bubbles, the grazing platter, and a gift bag, and there will be a prize. Everybody that comes along on the night, their name will go in a wee bag, and there will be some really awesome local business products there for somebody to win, which is pretty cool. We all always love a giveaway, right?
And I think it's great because a lot of people will have lots of takeaways in all areas of being able. So we've called it Lighter and Brighter, a Lighter and Brighter You, so that you can walk away with tools to implement and, you know, learn as well. Yeah. So that's
Bring
exciting.
Bring a notebook.
Bring a notebook, yeah.
Bring a notebook and pen.
Yep. So they're cool ways to find you and work with you at the moment and have you speaking, and your books will be there. Two questions to finish on. What are you grateful for today? This is a great piece in your book that you've got throughout the book. What are you grateful for today? We know gratitude and actually appreciation are two things that can bring you back from anything. And I think a lot of people, again, like anything else, they think it has to be big. But it doesn't. It can be the smallest of things. And when we can shift our focus to what's going right in our life, so much can change. So for you, Tania, What are three things you are grateful for, and one piece of advice you would love to leave the listeners with today?
So today I'm actually grateful for my chiropractor, because I saw my chiropractor today. I am grateful for my car that took me to the chiropractor, because it was a 30-minute drive. So I'm very grateful that I have a car. And I'm grateful for you, Amy, because you have just over the last few weeks since I've met you, you've just really come into my life. And just, I don't know, I leave after speaking to you, I feel lighter and brighter.
Contagious.
and that's a feeling that I love. So I'm just grateful to be here and to be on this podcast with you and doing an event with you. I'm really excited about it. So
I do. I know that I do leave people really, like, my energy is contagious. I feel like I'm put on this planet to shine lights in people's lives for whatever reason.
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. So one piece of advice that you would love to leave with them.
The best piece of advice is I can give anybody is that self-care is not selfish. Self-care is actually necessary, because you matter and you're important and you need to look after yourself. And I know as a mum, I used to feel very, very selfish when I would do anything for myself.
Yes, I think that's important. That's a great piece of advice, because so many mums feel guilty. Yeah,
don't feel guilty. You shouldn't, you know. Go out for that coffee on your own. Go for a walk on your own. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be a weekend away or a holiday overseas.
It's okay to feel the guilt, but just know and have that knowing that they're okay.
They're fine. They don't give a shit.
No, that's awesome. Oh, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast. I'm really excited about the local event. So we'll be getting that out to everybody ASAP by the time this podcast is out. I really appreciate it. I love your book. I think everyone should get it and read it and come into your world as well. And I look forward
to
working with you again very soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My pleasure.